After nearly 50 years in office, 81-year-old Cuban leader Fidel Castro announced today that he is stepping down because of his health will not allow him to accept another term as president of the ruling Council of State. The move comes 5 days before the National Assembly in Cuba is to meet to elect new office holders. Castro has effectively been out of power the last 19 months after an acute infection in his colon forced him to undergo emergency surgery. His 76-year-old brother Raul has been in control since that time. The reaction by Cuban exiles in Florida and around the country was extremely muted. Frank Pina is a Miami small business owner. He says Cubans deserve change.
He has led with such an iron fist. He's just been such an oppressive guy that I think people have been afraid. And now there's an opportunity. So is it going to be tomorrow? No, but it's going to be soon. It's going to be great. I think it's important for all the free countries to unite and put pressure on Raul Castro now and say it's time for you to really get free elections, free religion, free press, things that we take for granted in this country and in Europe and in so many other places.
President Bush, traveling to Rwanda on a tour of African nations, greeted the news by saying that the resignation should be the beginning of a democratic transition in Cuba leading to free elections. Such statements were similarly echoed by presidential candidates John McCain, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. This afternoon, several South Florida Cuban Democrats expressed caution more than anything else about the announcement made by Castro. Joe Garcia is the Miami-Dade County Democratic Party chairman and the executive director of the Cuban American National Foundation, one of the strongest Cuban American lobbyist groups in the state and the country. He said the switch from Fidel to Raul was moving from a ruthless visionary to a ruthless pragmatist.
But I think it offers an opportunity for U.S. policy to, I think, reach out and foster civil society, because civil society is the only option towards a democratic Cuba. I think it's an opportunity for the U.S. government today to step forward and I think to leave the rhetoric of vengeance, but have more of a rhetoric that offers a future, which is justice and obviously expanding civil society. I think that's what the U.S. government should be doing. It's unfortunate that it's not, but I think it is at least our position, that it's one that the U.S. government should be contemplating to doing in the short term with further moves as things develop.
Raul Martinez is the former mayor of the Cuban rich city of Hialeah, and he declared congressional candidate against Lincoln Diaz-Balart. He said for too long the U.S. has penalized Castro's Cuba, but says it's too soon to declare a complete change of policy towards the communist island.
I feel that we got to wait. I don't think that we should just go ahead and say, look, you know, because Castro is now on the side. He's not dead.
Right.
And he can continue to govern, you know, from behind the scene. We got to see what is it that they're coming to the table with.
Annette Tadillo is a Colombian-born business executive who was challenging Elena Rose Leighton in Florida's 18th Congressional District in Miami.
If and when the new Cuban leadership demonstrates meaningful democratic change, like free elections and the release of prisoners, then the United States could seize the opportunity, or should seize the opportunity, to take steps to encourage, and seek more progress.
Joe Garcia of the Cuban American National Foundation is running against GOP incumbent Mario Diaz-Balart in another congressional race this fall. He agrees that demanding a removal of the four-decade-plus embargo against the Cuban government and its people is perhaps, quote, too big of a bite right now.
It is counterproductive, it is counterintuitive, and obviously it does exactly what the Castro regime wants to some degree, because it allows, it guarantees stability in Cuba, as well as what I guess to some reason those less linked to the Cuba reality, which is some of the more right-wing elements of the Cuban community, to sort of talk about something which they have very little effect to.
85-year-old Tampa resident Al Arteaga visits Cuba as a member of Pastors for Peace, the faith-based group that brings donated humanitarian goods to Cuba annually. He doesn't think the situation will change much in Cuba immediately.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. They were expecting, I think. Myself, I can talk for myself, and for what I know and what I see in my trips going over there. And I think it is something I was expecting, and it was something else that they are being prepared for. Cuba, for instance, the government, the Cuban nation.
Tampa businessman Al Fox is with the Alliance for Responsible Cuba Policy Foundation and is a longtime advocate against the embargo. He says absolutely nothing will change in Cuba in the short term, and says he's discouraged that China and Venezuela have swept in to do business over the past couple of years in Cuba.
They're taking over Cuba for the very same reason that the Soviet Union did. They're 90 miles from us. And you mentioned Venezuela. People compare Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro all the time. Nothing could be a worse comparison from this point of view. Fidel Castro never had access to substantial, large sums of money. Never. He had to always go to some other place, like Soviet Union and others, in China. Hugo Chavez has buckets of money, which makes him exceedingly dangerous.
And Fox, who lost to Kathy Castor 2 years ago in a bid to replace Jim Davis for Congress in Tampa, rejects the U.S. foreign policy establishment mindset in penalizing Cuba with the embargo and the Bush administration's 2004 policy on limiting family visits to Cuba by Cuban Americans from once a year to once every 3 years.
I'd like to suggest is for you all to ask how many free and fair elections exist in Kuwait, in Saudi Arabia? How many political parties does China have? Yet we trade freely with those countries and travel freely there. Cuba wants to do the same. They want to be our friend. They want to do a joint venture to drill for oil in their waters by U.S. environmental standards. They want to use the port of Tampa. They want to buy our goods. They don't want any foreign aid. So for me, it just defies logic. But I know the real reason that American policy has lasted for so long. And that is, it's about money, retribution, and vengeance. That's all it's about. And you should never set American foreign policy based on vengeance and retribution. It should always be set on what is best for the American people, not what is best for the Cuban people.